Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Sadi Zayin. We're learning today Le'ilui Nishmas, Morris Leibowitz, Shimshon ben Rav Tzvi Hirsch, Henry Vogel, Chaim ben Moshe Tzvi, and also for Shmuel Alter ben Avraham Yosef. All the shows we learned for should have an aliyah from our learning, and of course we continue to learn for the safety and success of the Chayalim. They should be able to go and do everything that they need to do without getting injured, without any difficulties. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be watching over them. Those that Chas V'Shalom have already been injured, they should have refuah shleima b'mehera, and they should be able to bring back the chatufim without any difficulties and be Ezes Hashem healthy and as speedily as possible. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be shomer al kol Yisro. Okay, we pick up the Gemara in Sadi Zayin Amud Aleph with the very top words of the Amud, first words, first line. And we ask, Umi Omar Rav Avdo Kimakarki Domi. In yesterday's shir, and in previous shir, we've pointed out the opinion that Rav holds that we treat an Eved as Karka, and that the Eved cannot be stolen. Just like Karka can't be stolen, we don't say that if a person takes an Eved, that they have to give back the Eved or the value of the Eved at the time of the theft. But we say, no, just return the Eved. Even if his skina, you're allowed to do so because the Eved never is really stolen. So the Gemara questions this. Is that really Rav's opinion? Umi Omar Rav, Avdo Kimikarki Dami, that he can't be stolen? For Omar Rav, Daniel Barav Kitin, Omar Rav. After all, Rav Daniel bar Rav Ketina quoted Rav as saying, Hatokef be'avdo shel chaveru. If you went and grabbed the slave of your friend, the osabo melocha, and you did work with him, and then you returned him, potter, you don't have to pay for the work that you got from that eved. Now, if you're telling me, v'iso kadaitoch avdo kimikar koi domi, then in fact an eved is not able to be stolen, it's like karka, and therefore, when you use this slave, you didn't acquire the slave, you're not considered to be a ganav of this slave, and as long as the ganav returns the slave extant without any damage to the slave, so then he can just return the slave, and he doesn't have to pay for the usage of the slave that he got. So if you're telling me that, in fact, he didn't acquire the slave because the eved is considered like karka, so then why doesn't he have to pay for the usage of the slave? Am I potter? Why does this statement of Rav tell us that he doesn't pay for the usage of the slave? After all, birshusa demare kai, it remained in the possession, it remained under the rishus of the original owner of this eved. It wasn't considered stolen. So if you took it from him, why don't you have to pay for the usage? But clearly, Rav says that you don't have to pay for the usage. So what's going on? So Rav says, no, this statement of Rav, Hocha Mayaskina, is talking about Shalom Bishas Melocha. He was using this eved when the eved wasn't supposed to be working. As Rashi says in the Ramas, Shalom Bishas Melocha, Bishah, it was at a time when the Eved normally doesn't work. The Eved only works, let's say, 9 to 5. So he was using this Eved at night, at 7 o'clock at night, when he normally doesn't work. Or, there is no work for this Eved to do. Let's say he is a farmer, and it's not the farming season right now. So there's nothing for him to do. Therefore, the person who's using this Eved is getting benefit, but it's not in any way, we'll explain why not, deteriorating the Eved to have him work extra. And therefore, that's why you're potter, even though Rav is consistent to say that the Eved is like Karka, and therefore he doesn't change Rishus, and he doesn't belong to the Ganav, but nevertheless, the person using this Eved doesn't have to pay for the usage rights of the Eved because it was Shalom B'Shas Moloch, as we just explained. And I'll show you that this is right, where it says, Kiha D'Sholach Le'Rabbi Abba L'Mori Bar Mar. Rabbi Abba sent to Mori Bamar the following. He says, "Boy, minei me Rav Huna, go and ask Rav Huna, hador b'chatzar chaveiro shlomi daito, if you go and live in someone else's yard without their knowledge." Now Rashi explains that this is talking about, we have this on Daf Chaf Aleph, and he says, we learned over there that this is talking about b'chotzer delokai moliagra. This is in a yard that wasn't really for rent. In other words, there was no loss to the owner of this yard from the fact that somebody was sleeping in the yard, and there was also no damage done to it, so he really didn't lose anything. So therefore, he said, ask him, what's the halacha? If you go and live, you stay over in somebody else's yard without that person's permission, without that person's knowledge, albeit that person didn't lose anything by your doing so, do you have to pay rent? Does the person who stayed there without permission, can he be taken to court and have to pay rent? Or no, he doesn't have to pay rent. So what's the answer? Vishalchulei, they sent back the following response: Eino tsarich lahalus l'schar. He doesn't have to go and pay, and that's because this is a classical situation of zenene v'zelo chaser. The person sleeping in the yard, he got benefit from it, and the person who owns the yard was not renting it out anyway, and there was no damage that was done, and therefore he is called lo chaser. He's not losing anything, and when we have a classical case of zenene v'zelo chaser, so we don't pay any damages. There is no payment to be made for usage. Okay, so where it says, that's the answer why in the situation of the Eved, when there was no damage to the Eved, and it was a situation of zenene v'zeh lo chaser, the Eved was not working at that point. We spoke out and said, shelo b'shas melacha, so therefore the owner wasn't losing anything, and therefore the person using the Eved, so he's gaining, and the owner's not losing, zenene v'zeh lo chaser, that's why he doesn't have to pay. Where says, wait a second, how can you compare the two cases? If somebody is living in somebody else's yard that isn't for rent, so you're actually benefiting the guy whose yard it is. Why is that? And the Gemara says, Hari Chashna, how can you compare the case of the Eved when you're working him, he's going to be tired, as opposed to somebody sleeping in your yard, so that's actually good for you. Bishlam Hasim, in the case that we just brought down from Daf Chaf Aleph, that we just brought down to say, if somebody is Dor B'chatz Chaver Shlobi Daito, it's actually good for that person, because there's two possibilities. Bein Leman Di Omar, even according to the opinion that says, Beiso Mi Yasfi Yosef, it's good to have a house lived in, even if you're not going to rent it out, so it's still good that somebody should go and live over there. Why is that? So Rashi explains from the Gemara back on Chaf Aleph, Zeh Ador B'socha, the person living there is benefiting you. Hinaehu L'bayezeh Shuv Miyushov B'diurin, because he's, as Rashi says over there, he's going to fix any cracks that come up, he's going to take care of any damages that are occurring naturally, and he's going to make sure the place stays in shape. So therefore, you're actually benefiting the yard owner if somebody stays there, even though they're not paying rent. So that's one possibility. According to the other possibility, it's also not a problem. This is a pasuk from Yeshaya, which we had described as saying that a house that is left uninhabited, so Rashi brings down shade. The house will get ruined by these shadim if nobody's living there. So it's actually beneficial to the owner to have somebody living there so the shadim don't go and destroy it. So whether it's because they'll fix up houses, things that break, or whether it's because of the fact that the shadim won't go crazy over there, it's good for the owner that somebody lives there. So it's even more than zenene v'zelo chaser, it's zenene v'zenene. So therefore, in that situation, we understand why you don't have to pay rent. However, alahacha, in the case of using somebody else's eved, minichale v'nechushe avde. Wow, if you're working the Eved from 9 to 5 during the day, and then the Eved's going to hopefully go relax at night, so be fresh to work the next morning. If somebody works from that night, so the Eved's going to be tired. He's not going to be able to work for you the next day. So this is a situation of zenene, but vizeh chaser, because my Eved is not going to be as good. So the Gemara answers, no, actually that's not the case. Amre, the Gemara says, hochanami, in the case of the Eved, who's working 9 to 5, the owner is actually happy that somebody else is working the Eved at night. Or in a situation where the owner doesn't have work for the Eved to do, he's happy that somebody else is working the Eved. Why is that? Hochanami nichale, why is the owner happy? Because delo listere abde. He doesn't want to have his Eved destroyed. What does that mean? Rashi says, delo listere shlo yilma darke habatala. He doesn't want the Eved to get lazy. He doesn't want the Eved to become accustomed to not working. So therefore, it's actually good if the Eved doesn't have work by its master. So the master is actually happy if somebody else goes and uses the Eved, even if they're not paying for him. So therefore, it's actually analogous to the case of people living in a house or a yard that's not for rent. So it's zenene v'zelo chaser. So to over here, even though the Eved is going to be a little bit more tired necessarily because he's working extra or he's working when he otherwise would have been resting. So therefore, nevertheless, it's preferable so his Eved doesn't get used to a life of leisure, and therefore it's a zenene v'zelo chaser situation as well. and Maisa Shehoya, Bei Rav Yosef Bar Chama, in the household of Rav Yosef Bar Chama, who is the father of the great Rava, as we'll see in a second, Havu Tokif Avdei Diinshe Demasik Luzuze. So if people would owe them money, so they would go and take their slaves, sort of like as a collateral, until they got their money back, and then they would use these slaves to work for them, the Avdei Behu Melocha, based upon this principle. Now, Amalei, now the Gersa that we have is Rabbah, but in the Masoras HaShas it says it really should be Rabbah, his own son, Rav Yosef Bar Chama's son, Rabbah, the Rabbah throughout Shas, Abayin Rabbah, so he questions his father, how could you do this, Dad? So Rabbah, his son, asks him, my taima Ovid Mar Hochi, why does the master, in other words, he called his father the master, why do you, Rav Yosef Bar Chama, do this? In other words, these slaves don't belong to you, how are you allowed to go and work them? So first, his father tells him, Amalei, his father, Rav Yosef Bar Chama, says to the son, Rava, because the owner, Rav Nachman says, Avdo Nahom Kreise Lo Shave. In fact, the Eved isn't worth the work that he does. It costs more to feed an Eved than it does to actually get benefit from the work that he does. So therefore, I'm actually doing him a favor because I'm feeding the Eved. So I'm actually like losing on the deal. So the Eved does to me $10 worth of work and I'm feeding him $15 a day. So therefore, I'm actually benefiting the people that owe me money that we've taken the Eved for collateral. And therefore, it's allowed to be done. But Rava doesn't like this answer from his father. Amalei, Rava says back to his father, with all due respect, Eimor, the Amar Rav Nachman, when did Rav Nachman say that an Eved, Avda Nahom Kreisi Lo Shavi, that an Eved doesn't even work hard enough to make enough money for the owner to compensate it, to pay him for the food that he gives him? So, is that really true? So, Rava says that's only in the case of Rav Nachman, who had a terrible slave, could go and Doru Avde. Yeah, Doru, the Eved of Rav Nachman, was a horrible Eved. And he earned $10 a day working, but it cost $20 a day to feed him. So therefore, in a situation like that, yeah, you're not really hurting the person who owns the Eved by going and using the Eved and feeding him, because you're actually benefiting him. Why? What was so bad about this Doru Avde? The Mirake Bei Kube. Rashi explains in the Gemara, in Baba Metzia, where it means the Merakeh Bekuvi. We had this earlier in a few shiurim ago as well, that he was a late son. He was a joker. He was a batchan, this Eved Doru. And Haya Merakeh Bechanios Lishtos Yayin. He would go dance in the stores in order to get some cash to go buy wine. So, the lo nistrei avde, and therefore, in this situation, it's good not to let him be alone without working, Shlo Yagi Leo's Botel, the Yisatso. And therefore, for such an Eved, it's good to actually make him do work, because otherwise, he's going to do bad things and he's going to get used to being lazy and idle. So therefore, that's only for Daru Avde, but a regular Eved earns much more than his keep in terms of his food is $20 a day, but he'll earn $100 a day. So no, how are you allowed to do this? So Amalei, so Rav Yosef Bar Chama says back to Rava, because I hold like the Gemara we had at the beginning of today's shir. Ano, Kirab Daniel, surely. I hold like Rav Daniel, who brought down the Omer Rav Daniel by Rav Katina, Omer Rav, the Rav Daniel, who is the son of Rav Katina, said over the name of Rav, that if you grab somebody else's Eved, as a Ganav, Hatokev, Yavdo, Shulchavero, Vyasabo, Melacha, and even though you did Melacha, you're Potter, as we explained, because an Eved is considered like Karka, it's not really stolen, it belongs to the original owner, and as long as you give him back, he didn't deteriorate, he didn't get worse, so as long as you give him back, so you returned what you stole, the Heshiv is Sexela, Shagazal, so therefore you Yotze, and that's why you're Potter, you're allowed to have used the Eved, and you don't have to pay for the usage of the Eved. And that's what Rav Yosef Bar Chama tells his son Rava, that's what we did. Amon Ichale, the Lelistre Abde. So therefore you see, why is the owner happy? Because his Eved didn't go and get used to being lazy. So therefore, when the guy stole him, so he at least worked the Eved, and therefore the Eved will be returned to him without having gotten, so to say, this idea of not working, of being lazy. But Rava says, Dad, we still got a problem over here. Amalei Rava to Rav Yosef Bar Chama, Rava says to his father, Amalei, Hani Mili, that din that Rav Daniel Bar Rav Katina said the name of Rav is only Hecha de lo Masik Behu Zuze. That's only talking about a situation where somebody robbed this Eved. He stole this Eved and used the Eved. And there's no concern over here that it looks like a ribbis situation, that he used the Eved and then returned him because he was a ganav. But you, my father, Rav Yosef Bar Chama, Mar, Kivon demasik behu zuse. You are taking this evet, so to say, as collateral for a loan that you gave or a debt that is owed to you and that hasn't been repaid. So now, when you're going to get repaid, it's going to look like not only did you get repaid, but you got to use their evet. And therefore, kivon demasik behu zuse, since you were owed money by them, when you're using the evet, and then you're going to get the full amount of money that you're owed, it looks like you've gotten ribbis. You got the money back, plus you got the usage of the evet. And therefore, that's why you shouldn't do this. And I'll show you that I'm right, because the Amar of Yosef bar Minyumi, Amar of Nachman, Rav Yosef bar Minyumi said in the name of Rav Nachman, even though Apo Bishomru Hador Bechotze Chaveru Shlomi Daito Ein Tzorech Lahalus Loschar, even though we learned previously, and this is the Gemara on Daf Chaf Aleph, which we're now reminding ourselves of again, that even though a person lived in somebody else's yard without permission, doesn't have to go pay rent because the yard wasn't made for a rental, and therefore it's Zenenev is a lo chaser, that's only true in a situation where he hasn't owed him money. However, he'll vow the Dor B'chatzah Chaveiro, but if the person living in the yard was owed money from the owner of that yard, so now he's going to get back the money, and it looks like he got a free rental, and that looks like ribbit. So therefore, hilveyu v'dor b'chatzu chaveiro tzorich la'alos l'schar. Then you do have to pay him, even though the din technically is you don't have to pay him here because it looks like ribbit. Go and pay him. So that's what Rava ultimately told his father, and his father agreed. He said, I will no longer do this. Amalei hadribi. I will stop doing this. I will retract. Hadribi. I will no longer do this in the future, and thank you for teaching me this important lesson. Okay. Gemara continues, says Itmar. We learned the following. Hatoke sfina social chaveru. Somebody stole the boat of his friend. The Osobo Malach had used the boat. So then Rav tells us, I'm a Rav, that when the Ganav goes and returns this boat, so Rotsa Scharo Notel, the owner of the boat has the right to take it to court and either get the rental fee for the boat, or Rotsa Pechosa Notel, or if the boat was damaged more than what the rental fee would normally be, Rav says that he has the right to go and demand the damages for this boat. As Rashi says, in Nishbro, Niskalkala, if the boat broke or was ruined in some way, Udumei pachasa, and the value of this loss was yisei ralschar, was worth more than what a rental would be. So let's say the rental would be at $100 for the day, and the damage was $200, so no to demei pachasa. So then the owner of the boat has the right to take it to court to get back the damages that were done. Whereas that's what Rav says, Shmuel omar differently. Shmuel says, Eino notel al pachasa. Shmuel says he doesn't have a right to go and take anything from a rental point of view because he's a ganav and he returned it. And as we pointed out, as long as the ganav returns the item, so then if it didn't decrease in its value, so then the heishiv sechzel is shagozel, and he doesn't have to pay for any usage benefit that he got from the item that he stole. So therefore, Shmuel seems to disagree with Rav and says that no, he can only take damages, but he can't take the rental. But Rav Papa says they're not in argument with each other. Amar Rav Papa lo pligi. Rav and Shmuel are not arguing with each other. It certainly looks like that. So how does Rav Papa explain it? Because he says they're talking about two different cases. Ha, when Rav says that you can take the rental fee or you take the damages, that's talking about Ha, the avida liagra. That's when the boat was for rent. That's when the boat was going to be rented that day and then the guy stole it. So either when you take it to court, you get the rental fee for it, or if he did more damage than the rental fee, so then you can go take him to court for the damages that were done to the boat. But Shmuel was talking about Ha, de lo avida liagra. The boat wasn't for rent. It was a private boat. And this guy stole it, but then he returned it without damaging it. So if he returns it without damaging it, you're not like asking for rent. If he damages it, you can go ask for the damages. So that's teretz number one. That's what Papa says. Alternatively, teretz number two, they're both talking about when the boat was for rent. Ha, de avida liagra. So then what's the difference between Rav and Shmuel? So Rav, who said you can get rent or damages, whichever one is greater, that's when the person who ganved this boat went there with the idea that he was only going to use it on a temporary basis. In other words, it was like he was stealing it for the rental. And therefore, he has to pay the rental. He wasn't really stealing it. He was essentially using it for the rental. And therefore, he is going to have to pay either the rent or the damages were more than the rent, then he'll have to pay the damages. As opposed to the case of Shmuel, The guy went to steal the boat. He wasn't planning on just using it for the day. He planned to steal the boat. All the Nachas Leah died to the Gazlanusa. So Shmuel is saying, if a Ganav goes and takes something, so then all he has to do is Vehashiv Sakzela Shagazal. And therefore, as long as he didn't damage it, so as long as he returns it, he doesn't have to pay for any usage that he had for the boat. If he damaged it, then he has to pay the damages. So therefore, Rav and Shmuel aren't having a machlokas with each other. They're just talking about different scenarios. Either scenario one, like we explained, or the Yibayisema, scenario number two. Now we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Gozal Mapeya v'nistach v'chule. So the Mishnah gave us a number of cases that the item itself was physically changed, and in that situation, you pay kishas hagzela. But then the Mishnah gave us a whole series of cases where the item physically wasn't changed. It was halachically changed. Again, just as one example, it was truma that was tahora, and then you made it tmeya. So therefore, the truma physically, biologically, physiologically is exactly the same. You can't take out any sort of a physical parameter and show a difference between truma that was originally tahora and now it's tmeya. It's a spiritual change, a halachic change. And for that type of a change, the rabbi can say, here it is, back to you. And we gave several cases and examples of that. So now, we'll have two interpretations about the case of the coin that was cracked. So Amar Rav Huna, when we said nistak, when the coin was cracked, it meant nistak mamish. It means the coin was broken. So that's a physical change in the coin, and that's why he can't return it, the Haitian Sakzela Shagaza, because it's no longer in existence, and therefore you just have to pay the value of the coin. However, we had said that in the next part of the Mishnah that if it was nifsal, if the coin became no longer legal tender, it was nifsal from usage, so then pisalto malchus. That means, according to Rav Huna, that the government said this coin no longer is legal tender. And therefore, if it's no longer legal tender, it is halachically not something that has physically changed, but therefore it is something that has change from a point of view of its usage as legal tender. And therefore, that's why, according to the Mishnah, you can go and return the coin that was nifsal and fulfill the Heshiv Sakzela Shagazal, because you're literally giving him back exactly what you stole. That's Rav Huna's opinion. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Amar, no. The case of Pisalto Malchus, where the government said that this coin is no longer legal tender, that's the same exact thing as if the coin was physically broken, because everybody knows that there's a distinction over here. This isn't just a spiritual type of a change. This isn't something that isn't recognizable. This is a real change in the coin. Even though it looks physically the same, everybody knows, the government says, that this is not a good coin. And therefore, psalto malchus has the same halachic status as nistak, which means that you can't just give it back and say, I return Veshus Agdela Shagazal. No, what's the case then of Elohechi Domi Nifsal? So according to Rav Yehuda, what's the case in the Mishnah that Nifsal, you can give it back, Veshus Agdela Shagazal? So what's that case? So Rav Yehuda says, Shepasalto Medina Zu, Vyotz Medina Cheres, that it wasn't universally proclaimed throughout the kingdom that this coin is disqualified, but in some states it was no longer good, and in other states it was good. And that's a case where physically there's no difference, and it's not even easily recognizable, because some states allow it and some states don't. Now, we're going to ask questions on Rav Huna's understanding, and then we're going to ask questions on Rav Yehuda's understanding. So first we'll start off with Rav Huna. So Amalei Rav Chisla Rav Huna. Rav Chisla questions Rav Huna. Again, Rav Huna said that if it was nifsal by the Malchus, that is not considered a change that is recognizable in the coin, and therefore you can return it, Heshiv Sakzela Shagazal, even though it will no longer be of real value to the person when you return it to him. So Rav Chisla questions Rav Huna, and he says, Lidi doch, the Armas Nifsal Pasalto Malchus, that you're saying that this being Nifsal by the Malchus is still a change that's not recognizable, so then how is that any different? Hare peros virikivu, yayin v'hechmetz, if you have fruits that rot, or you have wine that became vinegar, so that should be just like this. V'chi psal to Malchus domi, and nevertheless, the Mishnah said, v'ktonim yishalim k'shas egzela. In these situations, you don't say you can just return the vinegar and say, here's your wine back, or here's the rotten fruits, and I'm returning you the fruits that I stole from you. We don't say that. In that situation, we say it's a change. So why should the kingdom parceling it not be considered a change, and the fruits rotting or the wine turning to vinegar, that is considered a change? So Rav Huna gives the answer, I think most of us would have said on our own as well. Amalei says, Hasim nishtana tamal v'recha. In fruit that's spoiled or wine that turned to vinegar, there's a real physical change that's detectable. The fruit smells, it's rotten. The wine is no longer enjoyable, it's vinegar. As opposed to hachalu nishtana. Even though the coin is arguably recognized by everybody that this is no longer legal tender, but it looks exactly the same. This coin 2 years ago was a perfectly good coin, and this coin nowadays, because the king decided it's no longer legal tender, is no good, but the coin is identical. So therefore, that explains why Rav Huna says that nifsal psalto malchus is a change that is considered not a physical change, it's only a change in the way the government looks at it, and that's why you can accomplish v'heishus l'gzeilah shel gozel. So Rav Huna is okay. Now the Gemara works on Rav Yehuda. So Amalei, and here we have the Girsa Rava, but the Mesoras HaShas points out it would be impossible for Rava to speak to Rav Yehuda. Amalei Rava or Rav Yehuda wouldn't make sense. As the Mesoras HaShas in Oz Hayes tells us, the Girsa here must be Rava, because we know from the Gemara in Kiddushin that the day that Rav Yehuda died was the day that Rava was born. So it's very unlikely that one day old Rava, even if he did live even for a few hours in the same time that Rav Yehuda lived, that he was asking him questions. So therefore, this Girsa must be Rabba. So Amalei Rabba l'Rav Yehuda, Rabba who lived at the same time as Rav Yehuda, so he asked Rav Yehuda the following, Lidi Dach, according to your opinion, who says, the Amris Pesalto Malchus Nami Hainu Nistak, you're saying that if the king says this coin is no longer legal tender, that's exactly the same as if the coin was physically broken, so then how do you explain Truma, Hari Truma, the Nitmes, so the Chipsalto Malchus Dami. So Truma, that is Nitmes, is worth nothing in terms of eating. You can't eat it anymore. So how is that any different than the government saying this is not legal tender, that that's considered something that's a change? So why isn't the Truma that's Tmeya considered a change? Nevertheless, Uktani, Omlo, Hari Shal Cholufanecha. With the Truma, you can say, here is your item back. I'm returning it to you. So why is the coin any different? So Rav Yehuda answers and he says, no problem. Amalei, hasam lo min kar hezeka. You physically looking at a truma that was originally tahora and now tmeya, you cannot tell any difference. If you didn't know that it was tamei, there's no test, there's no, you can't put a CAT scan on it, you can't go do any diagnostic testing on it to show that it's tmeya. There is no meter, there is no way to measure or know other than the fact that it became tamei. So therefore, there's no change recognizable in it whatsoever. However, in regards to the coins not being legal tender, the whole world knows that coin, that dollar, let's say, is no longer good anymore. Confederate dollar is no longer legal tender. So therefore, you can't say that it's not a recognizable change. And that's Rav Yehuda's answer. So we have answers of both Rav Huna's opinion and Rav Yehuda's opinion. Itmar, we learned in the base medrash, Hamal ves chavei ralamat beya, if Ruvei lends Shimon money and he says, I'm giving you $100, of coins or silver, I want you to give me back a coin that a certain coin that has a certain amount of silver in it, equal to what I gave you. So that's called Hamal Ves Chaveru Al Matbeya. But what happens then if that coin, the Nifsula Hamatbeya, that coin became possible? The government says that that coin no longer is legal tender. So what do you do? It seems that you would be able to satisfy the loan agreement if he just gave him back that possible coin. So Rav says no. Rav Amar returned to Tzayt Zayin Amud Beis. No sin lo matbeya hayotze b'yosushah. You cannot fulfill your obligation by giving him that coin that no longer is legal tender. But you have to give him a coin that is of the same value. There's no ribbis concern over here. It's the same value. You give him a coin that's the same value in order that you fulfill your obligation to pay back what you borrowed. So therefore, no sin lo matbeya hayotze b'yosushah. You give him a coin that is legal tender now. As Rashi says, the top Rashi, Bishas Piron, at the time that you're paying it back, you have to give him back a coin that's legal tender. You agreed to pay him back a certain coin. No, that original coin that you agreed to pay him back is no longer a valid coin. So Rashi says this is only Vidavka Hilveyu Pragmatya. That's only when he lent him, let's say, some merchandise and he said, you have to pay me back with this coin. Abel Hilveyu Maus. If he gave him money, he lent him money, so then the guy could actually pay it back with the same money that he got, which is no longer legal tender. That's what Rashi says. Others disagree with that. We won't focus on that right now. We'll focus on our case over here, where when he lent him some merchandise, some pragmatia, so he said, I want you to pay me back with this type of a silver coin. And that type of a silver coin is no longer legal currency. It's no longer legal tender. So then Rav says you have to pay him back with what is now going as legal tender, that same amount. Shmuel disagrees. Ushmuel amar yochel omelo leich hotzio b'meishan. Shmuel says, no, the guy can give back that original coin that he was told that he would have to pay back, which may not be legal tender over here, but it's still legal tender in a place called Meishan. So therefore, go and bring this to Meishan, where it will be legal tender, and therefore I fulfilled my obligation to pay you for the pragmatia that you gave me. Omer Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, however, this statement of Shmuel is only true. Mistabra milsi de Shmuel. It only makes sense that Shmuel is saying that you can pay him back with the coin that will be able to be used in Meishan, even though it can't be used over here, is in a situation, the Islay Urcha Lemeza Lemeshan, where this guy happens to be going to Meishan anyway. He has business there, he has a house there, a summer home there. So he's going to Meishan anyway. So therefore, you can say, listen, take this coin, which you're going to Meishan anyway, is perfectly good repayment for you because you can use it in Meishan. However, Rav Nachman says, Abol Leslay Urcha, if the guy isn't going to Meishan, so then even Shmuel would say, lo, you can't pay him back with the same coin that is not legal tender over here, albeit it's legal tender in Meishan, if the guy's not going to Meishan. That's where Rav Nachman qualifies Shmuel. Now, Esvei Rav, Rav Nachman, Rav questions this qualification of Shmuel that Rav Nachman just did. And he says, there's a statement in the following brisa that seems to contradict what you just said. The brisa says, Ein mechalin alamos sheinim yotzos. Now, mechalin here is referring to Maiser Sheni. So you have produce of Maiser Sheni, which has to be redeemed on a kesef, tsura, has to be redeemed on a coin that has a tsura in it, some sort of a design in it. And it can't be redeemed on what we would call a slug, like the old asimon. For those that remember back in the days, many, many, many years ago in Israel, where they had the coins that you used for the telephones, a public telephone, and you dropped it in asimon. This was a coin that didn't have a tsura on it. It didn't have a picture or some sort of a design on it. So that type of a coin, based upon the pasuk, etzarta, tzakes, biyodecha, so therefore, the Maaser Sheni must be redeemed on a coin that has a tsura on it, which means it must be a coin that is current legal tender. So the Braisa says, Ein mechal l'alamos, Ein yotzos. You can't go and redeem Maaser Sheni on a coin that is not legal tender. And what do we mean by that, Ketzad? So for example, Hayulomos, Kozvios, Yerushalmios. If a person has coins that are known as kozios Yerushalmios, what is that? So Rashi tells us, Dibra Maskul kozios, this is a matbeya shel ben koziva, bar kokhva. Bar kokhva was originally known as bar kokhva, and then he was known as bar koziva because unfortunately he didn't turn out to be who he was supposed to be. Rabbi Akiva and many of the other Talmidei Chachamim thought that he could be Mashiach, and they called him bar kokhva. But instead, he ended up becoming bar koziva, the one who was a false Mashiach. So in any event, a coinage that they minted in the time of Bar Kokhva, which is referred to as this coin, Kozvios Yerushalmios, the coins of Bar Kokhva from Yerushalayim. So, and Vachi Garcin and Rashi says, Kozvios Yerushalmios, it's one word, so to say. Or, Shel Melachim HaRishonim, that's the next words in the Gemara. O Shel Melachim HaRishonim, from the earlier kings, which are no longer extant, they're no longer kings, and therefore those coins which were minted during the reign of that king are no longer considered legal tender in subsequent kings' reigns. So, according to this version, it's Kozios Yerushalmios or Shel Melachim HaRishonim. Lishnach Rina Rashi tells us, it's Kozvios Shel Kziv, the coins that came from a place called Kziv. And therefore, you're Hachi Garcin, and it's Kozvios is one type of coin, or Yushalmios is another type of coin, or Oshem Lachem Rishonim, or from the earlier kings. In any event, however you learn this, if a person has such coins which aren't legal tender right now, so then, in this situation, Ein Mechalalin, they cannot be used for pigeon of Maaser Sheni produce. Implication being, the coins of the later kings, Hoshel Achronim, it's only the coins of the earlier kings that can't be used to be po the Maaser Sheni. Hoshel Achronim, Dumya Derishonim, but coins from the current kings, the later kings, that are similar to the earlier kings in that they do not have current status as legal tender, Mechalin, you can go be Mechalin for Maaser Sheni. So this goes against what you just said, Rav Nachman explaining Shmuel, that says that if they could be used in Meishan, then they're good. Well, these coins here could be used someplace else, but they can't be used to be Mechala Maaser Sheni because they can't be used in Yerushalayim. So therefore, it's a kasha on you, Rav Nachman, explaining Shmuel. So Amalei, Rav Nachman says back to Rava, he says, no, Hoch Maaskin, you know what we're talking about? Kishein Malchuyos Makpidos Zu Al Zu. This Bryce is referring to the kingdoms aren't makpid about people using their coins in another country. In other words, they allow other people to bring in coins from their home countries into the area. And therefore, since even though those coins aren't used in this area, but since they are allowed to be had, they're not makbid one nation on the other nation that they should have foreign currency in their possession. So therefore, you could be mechalal ma'aser sheni funds on them. But when Shmuel had said, only if you're going to Meishan, is that coin good, according to Rav Nachman's explanation of Shmuel, that's because if you're not going to Meishan, they're not considered good coins. Because Shmuel is saying that they are makbid in this area not to use the coins that are good in Meishan. So therefore, they're talking about two different scenarios, and therefore there's no steer in Shmuel. Where it still questions this and says, Elo, Kiyomai Shmuel, Kishamalchios Makbido Zuazu. So then, Shmuel is saying that if the Malchios are Makbid, in fact, one or the other, so then you can't use those coins at all, period. So then, Hechimotzi Mantule, then how is it going to be acceptable? Well, the guy's going to Meishan, so therefore you can give him back the coin. But the government doesn't let him use it there. The government's going to take it away if they find you with that coin because they don't allow you to have foreign currency with you. So how is Rav Nachman's explanation of Shmuel now going to be working? So he says, no, there's differences in the government being makbid. For example, the mamti lo aide adchak. So the money could be used in Meishan because the lo bochashe, because they don't check to see if you have it. No, if they find it, mishkache, then they're makbid, kopti. However, they're not checking. So therefore, if the guy is going to Meishan, chances are they're not going to find out that he has the money, and therefore you could repay him with that coin because it will be good tender in Meishan. Aye, they don't let you go with that coin, but they're not checking you. At customs, they don't go and check to see if you have that coin on you. No, if they were to find it, if they see it, they'll be upset and they'll take it away from you. But since they don't look, below Bahashe, therefore, that's not a problem. Still, we have a problem. Toshma, we have another brisa that seems to be a problem for Rav Nachman's understanding of Shmuel. A mechal lamo shel kan. A person is not allowed to go and be pode his ma'aser sheni funds on Eretz Yisrael coins on mo shel kan if those coins are vehein bebavel, if those coins are in Bavel. So a person in Bavel can't go and deconsecrate his ma'aser sheni produce on coins from Eretz Yisrael while he's in Bavel. That's what the brisa says. Vishal Bavel, and if they're coins from Bavel and they're in Eretz Yisrael, you also can't go and be poda your ma'aser sheni funds on such coins. However, if they're coins shel Bavel, v'hein bi-Bavel, Babylonian coins that are in Bavel, mechalin, you'll have to go take those coins and use them to be poda ma'aser sheni funds. Now, why is this a kasha on Shmuel, on Rav Nachman's understanding of Shmuel? So, k'toni mi'as, the Braisa says, ein mechalin lamo shel kan, you can't take coins from Eretz Yisrael, the Hain Babavel, and they're in Babel, and use them to be Mechalel on Ma'aser Sheni. But why not? Afal God the Soful, the Mesek Lahosam, you're going to eventually bring them to Yerushalayim. That's where Ma'aser Sheni has to be deconsecrated to be used. You have to bring those coins to Yerushalayim, and those coins are legal tender in Yerushalayim. They're Yerushalayim coins. So according to you, Rav Nachman's understanding of Shmuel, that if you bring him to Meishan, then it's okay. So here, why would you not be allowed to go and take those coins of Eretz Yisrael that are in Bavel and use them to be pulled to the Ma'aser Sheni produce? After all, you're going to bring them to Yerushalayim, so it should be good. But it says in the Braisa you're not allowed to. So Shmuel, your understanding, as explained by Rav Nachman, seems to contradict his Braisa. Shmuel says, no, it doesn't. You know what we're talking about? Kishamalchios makpido zualzu. Again, we're talking about where they're makpid over here, and they're going to actually actively go and search, and if they find you with it, you're not going to be able to keep it. And that's why you can't go be mechalit. That's why you can't go and take those coins in Bavel, those Eretz Yisrael coins, and go and use them to deconsecrate your ma'aser sheni produce, because the government is going to find them. They're looking for those coins, and they'll take them away. Gemara says, if that's true, ihachi shal bavel v'hein b'bavel l'may chazu. So wait a second. If they're makbid, so the government of Bavel is makbid on Eretz Yisrael coins, well, the government of Eretz Yisrael is makbid on Bavel coins. So then why did the Braisa say that if you have coins in Bavel that are Babylonian coins, you can be poded them on your ma'aser sheni? How would that work? As soon as you enter Eretz Yisrael, they'll take away the coins. So Gemara says, no. Chazu d'zovim b'hu b'heima u'masik l'yushalayim. Because you know what? You now have that coin that has Kedushas Ma'aser Sheni on it, and guess what? You don't have to bring that coin with you to Yerushalayim. go and bring a behema, go and bring an animal that you're going to shecht in Yerushalayim to go and take on the trip from Babel to Yerushalayim. So you'll go and use these Ma'aseh Sheni coins, go and take the Kedusha of the Ma'aseh Sheni coins and purchase with it an animal that will now have the Kedusha of Ma'aseh Sheni, and you'll bring that animal up to Yerushalayim and shecht it in Yerushalayim, and that's why this is acceptable to be poda the Ma'aseh Sheni coins on coins in Babel, even if Eretz Yisrael is makbid not to allow those coins into Eretz Yisrael, they'll take them away. Fine, so we solved that problem, but we still have another problem. Gemara says, well, Tanya, but we learned in the following braisa, Hiskinu, Chazal made a takana, Shu Hamos Yotzos B'Yushalayim Mipnei Kach. The rabbis made a takana that all coins are able to be used in Yerushalayim because people coming from all over the world up to Yerushalayim, so therefore they allowed any coin that would eventually come up to Yerushalayim to be used to be poda Yemaisa Sheni funds. So then how can this braisa say that you're not allowed to take Bavel money and use it in Eretz Yisrael to be poda Yemaisa Sheni? Yet the previous braisa said you couldn't do that. Rav Zeira says the two braises are in a steer to each other because it depends when in history this occurred. The braise that we just brought down now is Kinush Yumos, Yotzos, Yushalayim, Mipnei Kach. That was a takana when Baruch Hashem, the government in Eretz Yisrael, was a dominant government and we had the upper hand over the other nations of the world. So at the time of Shlomo HaMelech, that would certainly be done when everybody wanted to be subservient to Shlomo HaMelech. So therefore, he would allow coins from all over the world to come and be used to be poda Ma'aser Sheni in Eretz Yisrael because we were the dominant power. However, the previous braisa which said, no, kam bizman shiad umos olam, Takifa. Now it should have said Takifa al Yisrael, but that's a negative, and if we always use a euphemism, we say Takifa Latzman, that their hands were over themselves, meaning their hands were really over us. And therefore, at that time, they didn't allow those coins in Yerushalayim because they controlled what came into Yerushalayim, and they didn't want those coins in Yerushalayim. Tanu Rabban will in the following brayis, Ezel Mat Beya Shel Yerushalayim. Give us an example of what the coins were in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara tells us, David Shlomo Mitzad Echad, the word David and Shlomo on one side. Rashi explains, Kosov Mitzad Echad, Mitzad Sheni, Kosov Yerushalayim Yerakosh, because we don't put images on the coins. So therefore, David and Shlomo were on one side, and Yerushalayim was on the other side. Yerushalayim Yerakosh Mitzad Echad. The Ezel Mat Beya Shel Avram Avinu. What was the coinage that was used with Avram Avinu's time? So there was a picture of Zaken Uskena Mitzad Echad. There was an old man and an old woman, meaning Rashi says Avram and Sarah on one side. Zaken Uskena is Avram and Sarah. And then on the other side, Ubachur Besula Mitzad Acher. Rashi explains the Bachur and the Besula were Yitzhak and Rivka. The Marsha says differently. The Marsha says that this is a reference to the fact that Avram and Sarah had a physical rejuvenation and gave birth to Yitzhak at a very old age. And this, on the other side, was actually a picture of Avram and Sarah at a younger age. And this is based upon the idea, Acharei Velosi, Hoysoli Edna. So she rejuvenated herself. She'd gone well past the age of menopause, and then she had her period again, and she became young again. So therefore, that's what was the Bachur Mesula, according to Masha, on the other side. Gemara asks the following question. Rav asks the following question. Hamal v'schaveru ala mapeya. We had started the shir off with this, that according to Rav, if you gave over fragmatia, if you gave over something to a friend and he agreed to pay you back with a certain coin, so Rav had said that you have to give him back the current legal tender. You can't give him back a coin that's no longer legal tender. So hamal v'schaveru ala mapeya. What happens, not that it's no longer legal tender, but the value of the coin went up. Vosifualov, Rashi tells us that Aliba de Rav, this is going according to Shita Rav, the Omer, no sin on my beya shall also show. You have to give him the current legal tender coin, and the old coins are no longer good, but the new coin, so Hosifualov, it has more silver in it. Mahu, what is the halacha? So that's the question that Rava asked Rav Chista. Amalo, Rav Chista says back to Rava, no silo mabeya, hayotzi beosa shot. You have to give him a coin that is good, like Rav said, that is currently legal tender, even though it has more silver in it. Amalei, so Rava questions Rochis. He says, really? Bafilu kinafya? Even if the bigger coin, it's as big as a sieve, it's much bigger than the original coin. Rochis says, yeah, Amalei yin. Yeah, absolutely. Rav is still astonished. He says, Amalei, afilu kitracha? Even if it's as big as a tracha, Rashi says, Sela gadol, b'mida machzek is rova. It's a large amount. So even if it's as big as a tracha, Amalei yin. Yeah, Rochis says, yeah. Well, it says, wait a second, Vaha Kozailin Peri. But wait a second, you're able to buy so much more fruit with these larger coins. So isn't that a ribbis problem? So Ravashi says, no, Chazina, you got to take a look at the situation. Imachmas Tivazil, if the new coin is able to go and buy more produce because it has more silver in it, so then you have to deduct something because otherwise it would be ribbis. So if the original coin, let's say, had 10 grams of silver in it and the new coin has 20 grams of silver in it, so then, yeah, he's basically giving you ribbis, 10 grams of silver. So therefore, you have to deduct in the new coin. So instead of giving him, let's say, 5 new coins, you'll only give him 2 new coins or 3 new coins or whatever the number would be to go and make it an equivalent non-ribbis transaction. But we turn to Tzadi Chesem and Aleph. However, the Imachmas Tarazil, Rashi says, Shebo Gishamim, there was a lot of rain, Vinimtsu Rov Tuos Bolim, and there's a bountiful crop that year, Vozila Peros, so all the fruits are worth less. So it's not because your money, your silver is worth so much more, your coin is worth so much more, it's that the crops have become less expensive. So then, Lo Menakinonle, then you can give him back the 20 silver gram coin, even though originally it was 10 grams. Moore says, wait a second, but how can you say that? Even though the reason why he's able to buy more fruit is because fruits have become less expensive, but the bottom line is he now has more silver. So in regards to the amount of silver that he has, he wants to make into a bar of silver, is why she says, Lini Naska, in bar lahasichad, if he wants to go melt all the coins down, the last was man grew toes and make them into new silver coins, Yeshosim and Rishonim, that'll be ribbis. He'll have much more silver coins, and therefore that would be ribbis. So it says, Taki, you're right. Ella, Kihod Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Brady Rav Yeshua, Abdi Uvda. The Maisa Shahaya, that Rav Papa and Rav Huna, who was the son of Rav Yeshua, had a case brought to them, and they adjudicated in the following way. And they went to a certain money changer, Bezuze the Argedimius Taya, Adasora Bisimnaya. Rashi explains what went on over here, that this was a person, in Rashi, Dibra Masul Avdu Uvda, but Adam Shehilva Es Chavero Alamatea, exactly this case happened where a guy gave Fragmacha to somebody else and he said he would give him back a certain coin. Vosifu Olov, and the coin is went up, so let's say it went from 10 grams of silver to 20 grams of silver. Vaholchu Eitzel Agardimus Socher Yishmael. He went to this money changer, this businessman Agardimus, who was a Yishmaelite. He had the original coins and umin hayishniya, and he had the new coins, and he weighed them out. And there was as much silver in 8 coins of the new ones as there were in 10 coins of the old ones. Therefore, he only had to go and give him 8 coins. They paskin this. This was a case that came in front of Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brady Rav Yeshua, and they therefore paskin that when the exchange was so significant that the amount of silver originally in 10 coins is now in 8 coins, so then you only have to give him 8 coins. You don't give him 10 coins. But Mistamba, the Mepharshim explained, if it's less than that, so it's not considered such a significant difference, so then you don't have to give him a different number of coins. You can just give him the 10 coins. As Tosa says, if, for example, it was Tisha min Rishonim b'Tamnaya b'Shniya, it was 9 coins originally, had the same amount as now 8 coins, so then you can give him Yoav Tes min Ashniya. Then you can give him 9, it's not considered a significant enough difference, and similar other minimal changes, so then you don't have to worry about that. That's not considered ribbons, but if it was an 8 to 10, so then you have to be concerned about it. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's share.